Joining me for today's interview is Trevor Lane, host of Lakers Nation and the NBA Front Office show. Should be a fun one. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome back to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Joining me today, Trevor Lane, fresh off recording yourself. So your voice is probably pretty shot, although you'd be used to it, I suppose, doing a lot of shows. So appreciate you coming on late in the evening to do the show with me.
Oh, no problem. And yeah, I'm just warmed up now. That's all. I'm used to talking a lot.
And plenty to talk about. We won't dive into the weeds too much with the Lakers at this point, because you have just been talking about them. But as you said, it's your job. You enjoy talking about the Lakers. But watching the show you were doing just then, you're talking a lot about the off season and whether it's been a win or a loss or a neutral, and both you and you guessed, sounds like you were of the opinion that to this point it hasn't been a win, and there still needs to be a trade at some point, with the hopes of landing a center who unfortunately won't be Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, right. And he wound up signing with the Washington Wizards. Now, there's some rumors that they could still wind up maybe trading for him at some point during the season, and maybe Washington signed that deal knowing that they could eventually move on from him, especially with the third year non-guaranteed on that contract. But that's a bridge to cross when we get there. So at some point in the season, I think December 15th is the earliest that he could be traded based on the deal that he signed. So yeah, it's that was the big key for me anyway for the Lakers offseason, was making sure they add a physical bruiser type of center. And to this point, as of this recording, they haven't done that. So a lot of Lakers fans right now not super thrilled with what the front office has done to this point. But again, that maybe that'll change before the start of the season. We're keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah, and we are only recording this end of July, so still a bit of time to go. But as I said, we won't focus too much on the Lakers. So shifting over to just your journey in general, how have you got to where you are now? So what was the starting point? Was the plan always to get into sports media, or was it something that just sort of happened while you were on another path?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter. It's something that happened while I was on another path. I was a history teacher. I taught for 13 years. And while I was doing that, I knew I wanted to have a creative outlet. I wanted to do something on the side. And I love writing. I enjoy the process. And so I started trying to write a couple of different novels. I had these great starts, these ideas and everything. And lo and behold, I would wind up spending more time paying attention to basketball and what was going on rather than character development and things like that. I would have all these great ideas and then run out of steam and constantly getting pulled towards basketball. So I realized you have to write what you love. And so I started writing basketball. I started up a blog. Now, I'd done some writing a little bit in college. I'd written actually about pro wrestling for a little while. I had a daily column on pro wrestling. I had written I wrote for NBA.com a little bit about fantasy basketball. So I had a little bit of that in my background, and I decided that while I was teaching, I was going to start this blog and I was going to start writing and just kind of see where it went, see if I could stick with it, see if it would become like the novels that I had tried to write, where I would be all excited at the start and then my enthusiasm would wane, or if it was something that I would really stick with. And fortunately, it was something that I was able to stick with after about 6, 7, 8 months of writing on a blog that got zero traffic, like nobody saw it or anything like that. I was able to use that as a writing sample, as a portfolio, and I went and pitched a few different sites, got picked up by one to write about the Lakers, and then Lakers Nation came calling. They were looking for someone to write an editorial, and that's how I really started moving towards this sports media journey. Was I was writing one editorial per week for Lakers Nation, and that was where it all began. So I started out not on camera, not on a microphone, but as a as a writer, and that ultimately put me on the path to where we are today, where now I barely write at all. Now I just talk all day.
Yeah. A lot easier to talk than it is to write too, I think. Sure. So yeah, a nice end point. Interesting about the wrestling. So wrestling is something that I grew up with, and yeah, I don't think I've had a wrestling discussion on any of my shows, but my son is actually named after a wrestler, and I have multiple wrestling tattoos. I've met a few of the WWE stars. So it was more for me growing up in the sort of the, well, I grew up in the 90s, but really got into wrestling in the late 90s, early 2000s, The Rock, Triple H, Undertaker, and my son is named Hunter after Triple H. So yeah, oh, that's very cool in itself, and probably something I could go off on a weird tangent about.
Well, so you probably know that like one of my good friends is Chris Masters, Chris the Masterpiece Masters, yep. And he's been on our show all the time. He's a huge Lakers fan. And then AEW Scorpio Sky is on our show all the time as well. And so through it's this weird mixture of basketball and wrestling. I've actually met some of the wrestlers and things because of that. So that's actually really funny that there is that connection there between wrestling and basketball, and it all just kind of molds together in this. But anyway, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, no, I certainly know who Chris Masters was, and yeah, it's interesting now for me with my kids, because my son really loves The Rock, so he loves watching his movies. But to me, The Rock is a wrestler. Like he's not. Right. I know he's a movie star. I know he's global, that sort of thing. But to me, he's still The Rock from wrestling. My son hasn't seen any of that, so it's very. We have very different perspectives on who The Rock is, and much the same with Batista, who has sort of moved into that space, and John Cena and these guys. So anyway, yeah, we won't go down that path too much, but. So the basketball stuff, you obviously do the Lakers stuff, but you were talking about it on your show tonight, and you do the front office show as well. So that's more focused around trades, transactions, player movement, that sort of thing.
Yeah, my co-host Keith Smith is phenomenal when it comes to the salary cap stuff. I'm pretty good with the cap stuff. I'm pretty well versed, but he is fantastic. Like he's so good with all the cap stuff that's what he does on a daily basis, working for SpotTrack. He has teams, he has agents who contact him asking for his advice on cap stuff, so he is fantastic with that. So we break down everything on the NBA front office show, looking at all the different rumors and moves and things like that, transactions that take place around the league, and then how they all work within this incredibly complex collective bargaining agreement that the NBA has with their players, and how it all kind of fits together. And so we look at things from a very salary cap perspective while still focusing on the big, the exciting stories going on around the league. And we do delve into a little bit of, you know, what it means on the court, what's happening on the floor and all of that, of course, but we are more salary cap focused. So it's been a fun show to get to cover the whole league. My passion is, of course, the Lakers, but getting to cover the entire league has been a lot of fun on the front office show as well.
Yeah, it's certainly a side of the game that is very, I don't know, it's complex looking at all of the stuff that goes on under the table. And so, yeah, I think it's good to have more content out there in that space. Now, moving, I guess, away then from basketball and what your life looks like when you're not doing your Lakers stuff and your NBA stuff, family-wise, what does a day in your household look like? As I quickly run off for 5 seconds while you answer to let my daughter in the front door, but feel free, start your answer. I'll be back in 5 seconds.
All right. So in terms of my daily life, what I tend to do, well, get my daughter off to school. Fortunately, my wife tends to get up with her, because I'm typically doing stuff late at night. I do things, a lot of my shows and things like that are taking place late at night. Lakers games take place in the evenings, and we do the play-by-play for the game. Then we'll do the post game. And so my wife tends to get up, gets my daughter off to school. Then I get up, an hour or two later, start doing all of my stuff. I try to get most of my things done if I can before my daughter gets home from school, so I can, you know, have some time to spend with her afterwards. So family life is certainly important. I would like to say that there is this robust non-basketball life, but the way things are now, we're very connected, right? We're always on. And so that's,
yeah,
I love what I do. I'm passionate about what I do. I wouldn't change it. I feel incredibly fortunate to get to do what I do, to get to talk about sports. But there is kind of an always on element to it as well, where if news breaks, if a trade happens, it doesn't really matter what I'm in the middle of. I'm going to have to go cover it. So that's the part where it's hard sometimes to turn off basketball and just focus on other parts of my life. You're always having to kind of keep an eye on things and all of that. But when I do get some downtime, we like just playing board games, things like that, going to movies, that sort of stuff. Those are the things that we tend to focus on. And I try to remind myself to disconnect as much as possible while still just keeping an eye on it in case, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski breaks some news or something like that.
Yeah, and he does tend to, I don't know if he ever sleeps, but he tends to break stuff at some weird times. And
he does.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not that I would ever get him on my show, but I'm not sure what his life would look like away. I don't think there would be a life away from basketball for him. It'd be so hard.
Woj and Shams Charania, I mean, I know specifically on Shams, like he's got multiple phones. These guys are, I believe Shams posted his usage on his phone at one point, like during, right when free agency started, I think.
Yeah.
And his 24-hour period was at 21 hours on his phone.
Yeah.
So he took like 3 hours to sleep, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, these guys make a fortune doing that stuff, yeah, but man, yeah. I couldn't do it. I am sometimes too connected. They are constantly connected.
Yeah. I don't think my wife would let me.
Right?
To that point. And is basketball an interest that you share with those in your family, or are they, because for me, no one in my family really cares about basketball. So it's an interest or a hobby that I pursue by myself. And I can't really talk to them about it. So coming on and doing shows is a really good outlet because it gives me the ability to talk about it. But is that something that you share with them, or are they just, hey, that's your job, very cool, but we don't care?
Well, my wife is a Lakers fan. I asked her on our first date. Had to make sure. But the earliest memory I have when I was a kid was of watching the Showtime Lakers back in the 80s with my dad, sitting on the couch watching Lakers games with my dad. We used to listen to Chick Hearn on the radio, turn down the TV, and when we watched Magic and Kareem and James Worthy and all of them flying up and down the court. So my dad is a big Lakers fan, and so without that, who knows, would I be this connected to the Lakers? Probably not. But my formative years were spent watching the Lakers and watching, like I said, Magic and Kareem and the Showtime era, and then later on you get into even the Nick Van Exel and Sadale Threed and Eddie Jones and all those guys, that kind of in-between period after Magic walked away and all of that. That was an interesting time. And then Kobe comes along and everything. So there's been just these points throughout my life that where the Lakers, they've really been the constant. So I've been a Lakers fan for literally as long as I can remember. And from trying to mimic Kareem's skyhook on my little kid's play school hoop in my living room, that was it's always been something for me and something for my dad and I that we've connected over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, much like we exposure to the NBA here when I was growing up was very limited. It was maybe one game a week at midnight replayed.
Right.
So it was all, you were either Lakers, Bulls, or Celtics. They were the three sort of teams, I suppose, during the 80s here in Australia that you followed because of Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. Like they were sort of the three. And for me and my dad, he coached me when I played. He was always coming away with us on trips. And so I understand that, that connection with your dad can be really special. You mentioned that you like to go to the movies with family and with your daughter. Mm-hmm. And are movies, are they sort of something that I wouldn't say a passion, but something that you enjoy doing. So for me, I'm actually on holidays this week from work. So I'm just spending time watching some old movies that I haven't seen for a long time. It's something that I like doing. Is that for you a real interest, or just something that's more of a bonding, I guess, experience?
It's more of a bonding thing right now. Like, I love all the MCU movies, the Marvel movies, but my daughter, she just turned 8. So it's a lot of kids movies and stuff like that, but it's just something to go do, hang out. We'll watch something that's fun. She does watch some of the, obviously not like Deadpool or something like that, but she watches some of the Marvel movies with us too, which is fun. I have not. So I used to go a lot before my daughter was born. I used to go all the time, but now we got to focus on the kids' movies and things like that. So it's more of, you know, we'll go 3-4 times a year or something like that. Whereas in the past we were going, you know, once a month or something, we would go to the movies, if not more. So it's something that certainly waned, but I'd imagine it'll pick up again once the kiddo gets a little bit older and she could see some of these movies that are beyond, you know, PG. But but for now, it's something that we definitely enjoy doing, as long as it's the right movie. Otherwise, we're at a point now where we'll just wait for it to come out, you know, on Netflix or something like that, and then watch it when it's streaming rather than actually go to the theater.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I've noticed, obviously, my kids are now 17 and 14, so we have moved through that phase of kids' movies and a lot of them being animated, but we still go back to them. A lot of the kids' movies, while they are aimed at kids, there's adult concepts and things I think that sometimes go over the kids' heads, which are a good thing. But I think they're aimed nowadays at just a general audience, and so a lot of those kids' movies are fine to watch even as your kids get older. And but yes, as they do move through that phase and you can get them into Marvel, and my son is really into the Godzilla movies, so we've watched all of those multiple times. And as I said, he's into The Rock, so we watched Skyscraper last night, which he didn't want to watch. But then when he saw The Rock on the cover, he said, "Oh, no, I do want to watch that, actually, because The Rock is in it." So it is something that we enjoy doing together as well. Is music sort of a part of your life at all? It was, for me, it sort of was when I was younger, and not as much anymore.
Yeah, I think that's pretty typical, right? I mean, like, music meant a lot to me when I was a teenager. Of course, I was attached to all the bands, particularly in the 90s and everything, and the grunge era and all of that kind of stuff. But what's funny is, once you hit a certain age, like, the music that you liked when you were younger, that's just kind of the music that you always like. And there's actually I don't remember exactly what it is, but there's something about the way your brain is wired that it's actually the music that when you were a kid that just constantly sticks with you. And that's why certain music gets seen as, like, the, you know, the old guy's music or whatever. But so music is something that's, it's important to me. It's not as important as it used to be. I am going to a concert in a few weeks. I'm going to Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins in Rancid.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited for that, but that'll be the first show that I've gone to in years and years and years and years. It used to be a really big thing. I would always care a lot about making sure I had my music with me and all that kind of stuff. Now I find, more often than anything, when I'm in the car or whatever, 9 times out of 10, like, I'm putting on a podcast or something like that. Yeah. And I think that's just kind of a shift that you see when you start to get older.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like that, that sort of, I guess, concept or that idea that at some point your father he stopped buying clothes, and so he just wears the same clothes from when he's about 45, or somehow gets the same clothes over and over again. I think it's like that with music. It's, for me, if I look at my playlists and completely subconscious, it's not that I've done this on purpose, but the music, the era probably tends to stop in the early 2000s, and after that there's a few random songs that I just, I like that song. But in terms of bands, groups, it's what I listened to when I was 15 and 17 in the sort of mid to late 90s. And Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, I mean, that would be phenomenal because that's who I grew up with as well. So, we don't get a lot of those concerts, unfortunately, here in Australia. We don't get as many. But, I mean, that's part of living over here, but my wife and I are off. That is something that we do together. Movies is not, music is. We try to get to concerts whenever we can, but a lot of them are Queen, Billy Joel, Elton John. Sure. We're off to see Roxette next year when they're touring. And so it is a lot of the 80s, 90s stuff that we tend to go to as well. Food, is that for me? I just like food in general. So I like eating. I always have. Is food sort of something that brings you guys together as well? And is there a particular style or cuisine that you tend to go back to?
Yeah, we love Mexican food. In fact, we've found a great Mexican restaurant near us, and so we will go to that place probably at least once a month, if not more. Mexican food tends to be our favorite, our go-to. You go get, for me, I love guacamole. So go get some really good guac, get a margarita, some chips, some salsa. Off you go. You can do some carne asada tacos or a chicken quesadilla or something like that. So yeah. Mexican food, it tends to be our go-to. My wife loves Mexican food. I love Mexican food. So that's tends to be our go-to if we're going to go out somewhere. And I think I've become more into like getting a good steak. When I was younger, I was not, I'd be like, okay, cool. It's a steak. That's fine. Hmm. Now it's like, man, you go out, you get a really good steak. That is a great meal. So those are probably my two, where if I get to pick, you can go get anything. I'm either going to go get Mexican food or I'm going to go to a really, really good high-end steakhouse.
Yeah. I think for me, steak was growing up. It was, yeah, look, we have steak at home, but my dad just tended to cook it to death. So it was well done. So that was what steak was to me. And it wasn't until I was out of home and sort of financially, okay, I'm going to go out and get a good meal, and you actually discover what steak is, and it isn't just this rubbery bit of meat. So that is something that we will often get when we go out. So with Mexican, are you, because obviously you can get varying levels of hotness or heat within Mexican. Are you a spicy person or you like more of the mild flavors?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Southern California, so we've got a lot of Mexican influence on food there. And so I do like spicy. I do like a good salsa. However, there's a limit to it, where my limit is if I lose the flavor of the food because of the hotness, that's where I'm not interested. Otherwise, up until that point, absolutely. Spicy, no problem. I definitely love that. But there's a certain point where hot is just hot, and it's so hot that to me you lose the flavor of what it is that you're eating. That's my stopping point. So usually I wind up kind of like on the medium range. There's some people who say like, oh man, I want something that's gonna burn my nose hairs out. Like I want super, super hot. That's not where I would go. But I usually sit in like a medium heat. I do like a good salsa. Something like that is something I enjoy for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Medium is about as hot as I go. I prefer mild. That's sort of everything that we typically cover. But one thing we'll touch on, and by the time this is released, we'll know the answer. But it was mentioned on your show, as I said, that you did earlier, the Olympics. So I've been watching a lot of the Olympics as much as possible. The time difference doesn't really do us any favors over here, because all of the events are on from about 7 p.m. through to 7 a.m. So a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings for me. I've sort of been up at 4 every day this week trying to catch the swimming finals and things like that. So the U.S. are 2-0 now. They beat South Sudan earlier this morning my time. What are you sort of, I don't know, what's been your takeaway or a couple of takeaways from the Olympics so far, either US or just more broadly basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten some really good games. I think it's been some really high-level basketball. We've seen some really exciting ones. I think it's been a showcase of how good the world is getting at basketball, which is phenomenal. It's so much fun to see. The U.S. specifically, of course, I'm keeping a very close eye on Anthony Davis and LeBron James and how they're performing, and hopefully they're staying injury-free, and that's something we're looking for as well, especially with the NBA season We're counting down until training camp's going to be coming up at the end of September. But the U.S. team has looked really good. They've been impressive. Are they as dominant as, say, the Dream Team back in 92? No, they're not. But this is a very, very good team. They've been a lot of fun to watch. And I'll tell you, maybe what I wasn't anticipating, how fun this would be coming into this, but getting to actually cheer for some players that maybe I normally wouldn't, because they would be more rivals for the Lakers, guys like Kevin Durant, guys like Jason Tatum, Derek White, Drew Holiday, players for the Celtics, all these guys being on one team and getting, I think it's added as much as, like, I'm obviously biased in my analysis. I'm going to look at things through the Lakers slant, through purple and gold lenses and all of that, but it's added to my appreciation of the games of those players because I've been able to watch them in a situation where I'm actively pulling for them and not necessarily rooting against them. And so that has really been very, very enjoyable watching this Olympic cycle.
Yeah, I do wonder if Canadians have that same thought about Dylan Brooks, because for me, I'd find it hard to cheer for him, even if he played for Australia. Look, you're right. I think the fact that the US have brought their A team, they've brought, as you said, LeBron, Durant, Curry, these guys that in theory they could be of the mindset that, hey, I'm done with the Olympics, I'm past that, but they wanted to come back, they wanted to play, and it shows you how serious they're taking it, which I think is really good. And it also demonstrates just the level of basketball around the world now. And you mentioned they're not as dominant as the Dream Team, but look at the competition. Like, the competition now is so much higher, so much better than what it was in 1992, just with the amount of NBA players playing. I mean, I'd say that every country has at least one NBA player. I'd have to go through the roster, or at least someone who has played in the NBA. Maybe not currently. But, I mean, Australia, even 10 years ago, we had maybe two or three, and now it's basically our whole roster is NBA. Same with Canada. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I do think the US should win, but there's going to be challenges coming from Canada. France, I think, play tonight against Germany, or tonight, tomorrow, depending where you are. So whoever wins that will top the pool. I've really enjoyed the Olympics as well. I wish they were on every year, but they're not. Look, thanks for, again, squeezing me in, jumping on late at night over there. Where can people find you? Where can they find your stuff? And what's sort of the plan, I guess, for Lakers fans? Anyone listening in the lead up to, as you said, training camp in about a month?
Sure. Well, you can find most of my work on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/LakersNation, as well as the Lakers Nation podcast feed. You can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Social media wise, I'm at Trevor_Lane over on X, at TrevorLaneNBA. On Instagram and Threads. The plan is going to be, you know, we're getting into the dog days of the summer right now in terms of NBA content. Fortunately, the Olympics are going on, and that certainly helps. That gives us some basketball to watch. But we're all just waiting for the Lakers to make a move right now. Training camp will kick off at the end of September, and at that point, obviously, our coverage will really ramp up. We still have tons of stuff that's going out right now, but that will give us a lot to talk about, of course, once training camp gets started. Then we're going to get into the games. We do play-by-play for every single Lakers game over on the YouTube channel. You guys can hang out with us there and watch. And then we do our post-game show right after as well. We bring everybody together, hang out, talk about the game. It's a good time. So that's all going to be coming up, of course, once the season starts. And in the meantime, we're just all waiting to see if a move gets made or moves get made. And if so, of course, we'll be sure to cover that.
Yep. So, go and follow Trevor. Check out all of his work. Thanks again for jumping on the show. For those watching along, we'd love it if you could like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give this one a thumbs up. Head over to Discord. We've got a pretty big growing community over there on the fantasy side of things. So if you're looking to join leagues, we have hundreds of leagues available. So, again, thanks for listening. I'll be back with another analyst interview very soon. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.